Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, happy Halloween. It is the 31st day of October 2013. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets, Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How is Louisiana, New Orleans, on New Orleans on Halloween? I can't imagine. It's got to be a lot of fun.
Well, we basically had a party here at the office. People were allowed to dress up and bring in all kinds of Cajun food. We even had cow tongue soup. So,
I got to say, the last time I saw a cow tongue, it was sitting at home at my mother's house when we ate everything that came from the cow.
Yeah, you just don't ask what it is. You just eat it. You know how that goes.
Yeah, she ground it up, and we made like chicken salad. We made beef. She made beef salad out of it. It was really good. It was. But you learn to eat everything, don't you?
Well, I'm sure down at the French Quarter they'll be partying probably pretty hard, but I'm too old to go down there tonight. But I imagine it'll be pretty wild down at the French Quarter.
Well, I imagine it'll be fun. Hey, speaking of wild, this week's felt not wild, but a little heavy in the marketplace in Chicago. What'd you make of it so far?
Well, it's reflecting the better-than-expected yields. That's just been a steady, you know, a song that we basically have heard ever since the crops started being harvested in the Mississippi-Tennessee area. Everything has been better than expected, even when we got into the later planted crop, which I personally thought probably got dinged up pretty bad during August. Really didn't get hurt that bad. Yes, it's not as good as the early stuff, but everybody seems to be generally happy with the yields that they were able to bring in. So now we're getting toward the end of harvest, and probably today was somewhat of a day where a lot of farmers were probably forced to either move grain that they had at their local elevator or start paying storage charges on it. So you usually a lot of times at harvest you'll get a big sell-off at that day, and I think that's part of one of the reasons why the market wasn't able to really respond to the set of weekly, they weren't necessarily weekly, they were an accumulative set of export sales numbers, you know, that were all put together or done during the government shutdown. And they not only exceeded expectations, but by significant amounts. I mean, we had over 4.5 million tons of corn sold, 4.7 million tons of wheat sold, and most of the trade estimates going into that report were kind of like 2 to 3 million tons. So I think probably what happened is everybody was waiting around for that report to try to take the market higher, and it did initially, but it quickly met a lot of selling, and then I think a lot of farmers with inventory sitting in the elevator deciding whether or not they need to pay, you know, 22, 25 cent storage or just pitch it out. And I think we saw a lot of that happen today, and that kind of aggravated the situation here on the downside. So, I mean, it was a report that we've been talking about for 3 weeks. So it fit into that classic trader's axiom of buy the rumor, sell the news. And that's exactly what happened here today.
And on the daily charts, not too pretty. December corn on the nearby, July corn, November beans, May beans, July beans, November beans of next year, all posting upside down days.
Yeah, after today, look at the chart, you kind of feel like the person that designed the Obama WebCare website. You know, where's where can I put myself out of this mess? But the thing that that I'm looking at is if you look at your monthly charts on all both corn and soybeans, we are right down against those monthly trend line charts. It's an uptrend line drawn off of the 05 low on corn and the 06 low on soybeans. So we're still in a point in here where the market can maybe make a stand. If these numbers give way, well then, you know, then we've got the quick move on down to $4 probably on corn, which is a benchmark. And then you probably got a quick move down on soybeans, probably. Oh, January beans probably slip back to 12 real quick, and then we'll kind of go from there. You know, tomorrow's private estimates, Informa, will be out during the day. I'm not too sure if it's at, I think it's at 11 o'clock. They usually release their numbers 11 Central Time. And then you have FC Stone the same day coming out after the market closes on Friday. So the trade is going to trade those two numbers tomorrow and Monday. And then things will probably calm down a little bit, and we'll see what USDA gives us next Friday. And USDA, I think, is going to be the I think Informa Economics is going to try to make some acreage adjustments based upon the latest data that they saw from the farm service agencies, which was probably August numbers. We didn't get any September numbers, or we didn't get any October numbers yet. And I think, didn't you say that Joe says that they're going to be able to take a look at those numbers?
Yeah, he said, if I remember correctly, and I think I do, that they will arrive at USDA November 4.
And he would, and that group would have at least a chance to take a look at those numbers before they make any acreage changes.
Yep.
So that's going to be the big key. I think that'll be the one that kind of swings the pendulum probably a week from Friday. Because the two previous reports, the August and September numbers, all implied very, very, very low certified acreage numbers. It was exceptionally low compared to historical years. So it'll be interesting to see if those numbers climbed very much over the past 2 months or not, or if USDA is going to have to take a whack out of the planted acreage numbers. And I think that's the only really unknown out there at the moment. Yields are good. The only question mark is, you know, what number do you want to put on the yield, I think, at this point. But as I say that, demand is turning out, export demand is turning out to be much better than what I think anybody had visualized before harvest started. I think both these sales numbers that came in here today, and you look at the accumulation, basically for the marketing year, we've already sold 66% of what USDA has projected on corn. We've sold 86% of the bushels that USDA projected for soybeans, and we're about 57% of the way on wheat. So when you look at corn and soybeans, there's definitely room there for USDA to add some bushels into that category. How many they'll put in during November, or if they'll go slow, probably go a little slow, but you know, they got corn exports at 1225. I think before the year's out, we'll probably be at 1.5. They got soybeans, I think, sitting at about 1370. Again, I think I could easily top 1.5. So export demand is turning out to be a little better than what everybody thought. Ethanol demand continues to chug right along. If you take into account the bushels that were brought from the southern areas to the north, during August, we've probably already used up 1 billion bushels of corn for ethanol this year. So, and I think that kind of explains why the market hasn't maybe gotten as bearish as a lot of people thought maybe 2 or 3 months ago, is that the pipeline was empty. We've got, you know, a lot of demand around with ethanol. Export decided to pick up at the same time. But we still are going to have an adequate supply of inventory to kind of move through the marketing channels through the winter months. So upside recovery prospects without a weather problem in South America is probably not going to be as meaningful as what we would like to see. Let's see what the USDA gives us on the November crop report, and then we can kind of go from there.
Dan, thanks so much. Hey, go down to the French Quarter and take a peek at least.
Okay.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.